This week on Beyond Stillness, Stories After Stroke, we spotlight Anna Carey from Nottingham, England. She suffered a stroke at age 35. Since that time, Anna has devoted her life to serving other stroke survivors. She is the founder of the Stroke Wellbeing Space, an online resource and gathering platform for stroke survivors. Throughout her story, Anna describes specific practices that helped her trust and love her own body again. Thank you for joining us for part one, Anna Carey's story. Hello and welcome to Beyond Stillness. Stroke offers a powerful, life-changing shift in perspective. Each colorful memory creates a parable for life's greater teachings, a compass for journeys ahead, and inspired wisdom for unique growth. This radio show, Beyond Stillness, offers an hour of pause for storytelling and reflection. Ultimately, Beyond Stillness is a welcoming environment that reveres the moment beyond stroke's paralysis. Still moments unite humanity and divinity. I'm your host, Molly Bucola. Today's guest is Anna Carey from Nottingham, England. She loves reading fantasy novels, gardening, morning exercise as a way to clear her mind, and in March of 2021, Anna suffered her stroke at age 35. Just months earlier, she completed her teacher training for yoga and has found ways to combine the experience of the stroke and yoga teacher training in order to support and empower stroke survivor. She founded the Stroke Wellbeing Space and serves as a stroke well-being coach. But before we begin, we take a moment of pause, calling to mind our own experience with stroke. Focusing on our breath, the inhalations, and the exhalations as a way to give thanks to our bodies, minds, and spirit for helping us progress through the experience with stroke and recovery. So now let us pay special attention to the inhale and the exhale, elongating each and maybe on the inhalation, thinking of the word grace and exhaling with the word gratitude. Inhaling with the word strength. Exhaling gratitude. Inhaling with patience. Exhaling with gratitude. Inhaling with connection. Exhaling with gratitude. And on our last, inhaling with gratitude. And exhaling with gratitude. Today, I give special thanks for our guest, Anna Carey. Anna, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here. And that was a lovely little breathwork practice there. I loved that. I'd been harboring thoughts of becoming a yoga teacher for quite a while before I finally took the first leap and started a foundation course in yoga. During that course, I fell even deeper in love with this practice as I started to learn more about the different aspects of yoga. And after my foundation course, I went on to do a 200-hour teacher training. And in August 2020, I finally qualified as a yoga teacher. And I originally thought that my biggest challenge with this would be trying to set up a small business in the middle of a global pandemic. But then a few short months later, on the 12th of March 2021, I had a stroke. I woke up that morning at 5:50 a.m. and for a few short moments, everything was exactly as it is every other morning. Things quickly took a turn for the worse when I started to get my workout clothes on. I realized that my left arm felt a little weird and my head felt a little fuzzy. I then noticed my legs started to feel a little weird too, so I sat down on the edge of my bed and I just thought I'd stood up too fast and I'd just got a head rush, but I soon realized that something was really wrong. As my husband passed the bedroom, I said to him that I didn't feel right, or at least that's what I thought I tried to say. It was so difficult for me to speak, and so it all came out slurred. My husband rushed over to me, took one look at my face, and called 999 and told them he thought I was having a stroke. I was fully conscious and aware of what he was saying at that point. I was also thinking the same thing. I was also thinking that strokes don't happen to young people. Whilst my husband was on the phone, things deteriorated quickly, and I couldn't move my arm or leg. The emergency services were asking him to get me to do different things like raise my arms, and I just couldn't do it. Once the ambulance was on their way and he'd got off the phone, he laid me on our bed, and all I could do in that moment was tell him how much I loved him. I didn't really know anything about strokes at that time, but I did know that people die from them. So in those moments, all I could think to do was tell my husband that I loved him. I know my husband was thinking something similar, but throughout the whole thing, he kept so calm. And in this one moment when I was panicking so much, he offered me such a gift with a few short words. He told me to use my yoga breathing. And in that moment, he gave me something to hold on to. And all I had to do was alter my breathing slightly. I deepened my inhalations and lengthened my exhalations. And in doing so, it allowed me to relax slightly and to give me some form of control over the situation. It wasn't going to take away the fact that I was having a stroke, but it did allow me to handle the situation in a better way. And when the paramedics came, I was slightly mortified with about what I was wearing. So I remember I kept apologizing for it. They asked what had happened, so I tried to explain as best I could using a mouth that just wouldn't seem to work properly, and my husband filling in the blanks. They told me their philosophy was to treat for the worst but hope for the best. So they were going to treat me as if I was having a stroke, but they did also say that it wasn't necessarily a stroke, that it could be something else. I was then blue lighted to the hospital, but because we were still in the middle of the pandemic, my husband couldn't come with me and had to stay home, which was extremely difficult for both of us. On arriving at the hospital, I had some tests done, and firstly, I had a CT scan. Once this was done, I was taken up to the stroke ward. A couple of doctors came to see me and asked me to go through what had happened. They then told me they thought I'd had a migraine, but were still going to do an MRI scan on me. I thought this was great, and I felt so much better about things, knowing that the doctors thought it was just a migraine. I felt like this was something I could deal with. So after my MRI scan, I was taken back to the ward where I was given my own room, and later on that day, one of the doctors came to see me. She told me I'd had a stroke, which completely felt like the rug had been pulled from underneath me. I felt so scared, and I remember asking her through the tears if it was going to happen again. That's what I was most scared of, going through that again. My physical recovery was very good. I regained the use of my arm and leg over the next day or so. It was just left with some odd feelings in my left side. So 4 days later, I walked out of hospital feeling very tired and weak, but still, I was walking, and that was the main thing. I think the real work started for me when I got home from the hospital. I had no idea what was supposed to happen after I left hospital. And it was, I very much felt like I'd been left to my own devices to figure it out. I didn't know how to deal with what I'd been through and what was to come. So I ended up spending most of my first week home from hospital doing practical things like chasing up my discharge notes that they'd got lost somewhere along the way. And my GP surgery, I had no idea what had been going on. My husband and I decided he would go straight back to work the day after I came home from hospital. I could do everything for myself, so there didn't really seem like much point in him being at home. And I was determined I didn't want to rely on him being there. I didn't want to rely on others to feel safe. I knew I wanted to feel that safety within myself and to trust myself again and to trust my body again. It was definitely a difficult thing for both of us in those early days. My husband would call me throughout the day to make sure I was okay, but gradually we started to trust that everything was going to be okay, and I knew if I needed him, I could just call. As I could move my left side of my body again, I knew that I would be okay to do some yoga and bring some gentle movement, so that during this time, I also reached out to some of my yoga friends to ask if any of them knew of any teachers who could help me deal with trauma. This is what I was struggling with more than anything. Luckily, there was someone that we knew who had been trained in trauma-informed yoga, and speaking with this teacher really helped me to change things for the better for me. He encouraged me to move my body again and to get out of my head and into my body. And this was how my journey to feeling safe within my body again started. My yoga practice at that time wasn't anything like you would think it if you looked at what yoga looks like on places like Instagram. It was very slow and gentle, very much floor-based, and really allowing me to feel my body. This practice gave me more confidence within my body, and I started to feel like I could trust my body again. I still knew there was more I needed to do to help me through the psychological side of recovery, and I stumbled across a yoga teacher who was doing a short session on trauma. I found this so interesting and wanted to learn more, so I signed myself up for 50-hour training to become a trauma-informed yoga teacher. This course helped me to deal with my own trauma, but also gave me the tools that I needed to be able to help others through their recovery. I remember the first time I came to my yoga mat looking for some form of sanctuary. In my early days of recovery, it all just felt so massive, like there was such a massive change in me and my life. It had just been a difficult day and everything felt overwhelming. So I went to my spare bedroom, rolled out my mat and sat down. I wasn't even sure at that point what I was going to do. Did I want to move? Did I just want some comfort? I wasn't really sure of anything. So in that moment, I actually just sat and cried. I sat on my mat, hugging myself and gently rocking myself to offer myself some comfort. I realized there was also one thing I was learning about in my trauma training course that could help when dealing with difficult emotions. So I thought I'd give it a go. It's called a focusing practice. Instead of pushing away the feelings and emotions, I acknowledge them. I let them know that I'm here and that I'm listening. I offer myself compassion by using the phrase, no wonder, when doing this. And it kind of goes something like this. So, no wonder I'm feeling sad or anxious or angry or whatever it is I'm feeling in that moment. You know, no wonder I'm feeling that. I've been through a lot. I like to place a hand on my heart to soothe me. I then like to see how that feels. It usually eases a little, and I then repeat it to say something, and then I rephrase it to say something within me is feeling sad or anxious or angry. And this helps it to shift a little bit more so that it doesn't feel overwhelming. And I know that it's not the whole of me that feels this way. It's just one small part. And I mean, if you wanted to try it now, I think this is a really nice practice. So you can take a moment to just close your eyes or drop your gaze, whatever feels more comfortable for you. And just take a breath and notice how you feel. And if you're feeling any of those difficult emotions, offer yourself some compassion with no wonder I'm feeling this way. And I've been through a lot. And just let that settle. Let that settle and let it settle and see how it feels within your body. And then let's rephrase it to say something within me is feeling sad or anxious or angry or whatever it is you're feeling. So rephrasing it and letting it know that it's okay, but it's not the whole of you that's feeling like this. It's just a small part. And then take a moment to breathe. Just take a breath and allow everything to settle. And this is the practice that I do whenever I'm feeling any of those difficult emotions. And so that's what I did in that moment. I acknowledged my feelings and emotions and offered myself compassion, and it helped to ease how I was feeling. And I hope that that has helped, can help ease how you're feeling. I could then do some gentle movements on my mat, which helped to shift how I was feeling again. And this is now my go-to practice whenever I'm dealing with difficult emotions. And I've also found a sanctuary in my garden. This is the place where I can retreat to when I'm feeling stressed. I think I've found two spaces with my yoga mat and my garden that can help me when I'm feeling different things. Going back to work has been stressful at times, and my garden has massively helped with that. I think being in nature is a helpful reset button. When I feel stressed, I tend to feel it in my shoulders. But when I go in my garden, I instantly feel them drop and relax. I would definitely encourage other survivors to find a safe space within nature. It doesn't need to be outside if that's not accessible for you. You could look at bringing in houseplants. They're great for making your indoor space feel connected to nature. And you can also open a window to bring in some fresh air and sit in a sunny part of the room. I know I'm like a cat. I follow the sun around my room whenever I can't get outside. It's so important, though, to find something and somewhere that works for you. I know that managing stress is so important, so I try to do everything I can to minimize it, but there are always going to be days that are challenging, and it's not just work that can get stressful. Recovery in general can be stressful with lots of hospital appointments and waiting on different things. And finding my garden space and using this to help me has been amazing for my recovery. And I even enjoy gardening now, which is not something my younger self would ever have believed. I think having a stroke is such a brutal thing to happen. It's so sudden and can strip you of who you are. But I knew very early on in my recovery that I wanted to use the traumatic experience I'd had to help others. I thought that if I could find my way back to health and wellness, then I could help others to do so too. So in a way, this stroke has given me a new direction in life. I started my own journey back to wellness with bringing awareness back to my body. I couldn't truly move forward until I started to build the connection back with my body and to start to trust my body again. It was great to feel, you know, more stable within myself. And I remember starting to hold myself differently again. I felt less vulnerable. So once I'd got the basis, I started to work with my breath and my nervous system, and learning how to regulate my nervous system using my breath was an accessible way for me to soothe myself and help my healing. And I also started to look at how resting was important in recovery. I think it's so important during recovery to learn to rest. And one of the things I always did was have rest on my to-do list. That always made sure that I did it and I didn't forget. I think it's important after a stroke to make sure you set some boundaries, and rest is one of those things that can be neglected. Whilst I was going through this healing process, I was also thinking about the psychological effects that the stroke has had on me. And I've always loved the use of mantra, which is a word, sound, or phrase which you repeat. And I've always loved using that in my yoga practice. So I started using mantras like, I am whole, or I am enough. And once I started using these and feeling these mantras within my body, my mindset started to shift. I'd never had a great relationship with my body, but not too long before I had my stroke, I thought things were just beginning to fall into place for me. My mindset was shifting and becoming more positive towards my body. And then I had a stroke. I realized on my healing journey that my stroke had actually done something for me. It had allowed me to see how amazing my body was. It kept me alive. And going through this journey allowed me in the end to be kinder to myself and to offer myself more compassion. I knew then that I could work towards acceptance of what had happened to me and start to move forward with my life. I was so passionate about this way of working with the whole of my experience that I even created a course for other people to work through their recovery in the same way, which I'm extremely proud of. I think there is a lot of emphasis on the physical recovery, but less so on the psychological side. It's a massive thing to go through and affects the whole of you. And this belief fuels every part of my life now. My focus on the whole person informs my recovery daily and professionally. I now help other stroke survivors with the use of yoga and other tools I've learned along the way that have helped me in my own recovery, which can then help them move forwards with their lives.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you so much for having me.
So again, let us settle into this space, into our bodies, maybe relaxing our shoulders down and back, grounding, feeling connected with the earth below, maybe rising, also connecting with the sky above. Becoming aware of the way that even the atoms move within our body. The life that breathes in and throughout. In this moment, we give thanks for our inhalations and exhalations, elongating each as we sit here today. And with the next inhale, open your eyes and exhale gratitude into this world. Anna, thank you so much. Thanks for joining and sharing your wisdom today. Thank you for devoting time and space to listen to part one, Anna Carey's story. Stick with us for part two, Anna Carey's interview. Each colorful memory creates a parable for life's greater teachings, a compass for journeys ahead, and inspired wisdom for unique growth. In this episode of Beyond Stillness, guest Anna Carey offered her story entitled Finding Safety Within My Body. She shared how yoga practice and communal support and self-compassion helped her trust and love her own body again. If you enjoyed this moment of pause for storytelling and reflection, please like, share, or subscribe to the Beyond Stillness Stories After Stroke podcast. Again, thanks for listening, and remember, as part of the stroke community, you are more than supportive. You are inspirational.
If you are part of the stroke community and have a story you'd like to share on the show, please contact us. Email molly@beyondstillness.org.